Hey there again, everyone. Chris Block here, writer and editor of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, with an interview, a lengthy interview, we conducted this morning, Saturday, April 14, 2012, with the head coach of the Rockford IceHogs, Ted Dent. Since this interview is nearly 25 minutes long, we'll get right into it. But first, I should point out, in the discussion, Dent and I both referenced Bill Peters, who served as the head coach of the IceHogs for the three years prior to this 2011-12 season. Peters was originally given a contract extension last summer, but then resigned from his position after he was offered an assistant's job with the Detroit Red Wings. Mike Babcock, of course, being Peters' original mentor in coaching out in Spokane many years ago. Dent was eventually offered the IceHogs job last summer after a period of interviews. Dent had served as an assistant for the IceHogs for the previous four seasons and one when the Hawks affiliate was in Norfolk under Peters and now Blackhawks assistant Mike Havlin before him, the first year that the IceHogs were the Blackhawks affiliate and the one before that in Norfolk. However, this isn't the first time Ted Dent has been a head coach. He was once before for the 2005-06 season before joining the Blackhawks organization. That was in the ECHL for the Columbia Inferno. That didn't go well. Before that, he was an assistant on the Kelly Cup winning team, which is the ECHL championship, Trenton Titans. Prior to that, Dent served as the Washington Capitals video coach from 1999 to 2004, so that's a little background on Ted Dent. Dent is an interesting guy to talk to since he's worked very closely as an assistant, hands-on, with many of the guys that have gone on to careers with the Blackhawks, and you've come to know very well if you're listening to this, and then around the National Hockey League, whether it be Dave Bolin, Troy Brower, Dustin Byfuglien, Chris Versteeg, and among many others. Anyhow, in the beginning of this interview, I focused mostly with Dent on his first year back as a head coach this season and the relationship he maintains with the coaching staff up in Chicago, Joe Quenneville specifically. We got a lot of interesting notes and insight to how the operation works, so I think it's a really valuable part of the conversation. From there, we move on to topics pertaining to specific players like Kyle Beach, Brandon Peary, Jeremy Morin, among many others. Anyway, so let's get into it. Here's the complete discussion with Ted Dent, conducted on Saturday morning at the BMO Harris Bank Center. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and enjoy.
All right. Obviously, I mean, you were a head coach before, but it's been, 5 years or however long it's been. How much has changed since the last time you were behind the bench at the ball? Right, if anything.
Well, I think, I think I've changed. I've been able to sit back the last 5 years and be an assistant coach again and at the American Hockey League level and formulate my own opinions and ideas. And, I always was confident in my ability and hopefully would get another chance at being a head coach. And it worked out. And, I know I've been ready the last couple of years, and I'm just fortunate to get the chance here.
I mean, obviously Bill left on his own accord, but, maybe from the outside, I think maybe we assume sometimes that when a new coach comes in, he kind of tries to put his stamp, so to speak, on the team. Was there anything like that that you tried to come in with a new approach or your stamp at all?
Well, I mean, I learned a lot from Bill, working with him for 3 years. He did a great job here, and, I thought every year that Bill was the head coach here, we squeezed the most out of the guys, and Bill and I got along really well, developed a good relationship, and, I learned a lot from Mike Havlin as well. It was really my mentor when I first started coaching, but as far as putting a stamp on the team, the only thing I wanted to do that was maybe a little different in the past, I just wanted to create more of a fun environment to come to the rink every day, win, lose, or draw, and try and get a group of guys that care about each other, tight-knit group. And I think, we've done that, and that's one of the reasons why we've been able to persevere through the year, through all the call-ups and trades and things like that.
Kind of along the same lines, as an assistant, you're more hands-on with the players, working with them every day, develop, kind of close relationships with guys. Were you cognizant of that coming in and, how to handle that now that a lot of, these guys that were coming back, maybe there'd be a little bit more distance this time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys I've been an assistant coach to as well. I thought that could help me, having established those relationships with them. Obviously, it's going to be at a different, on a different level being a head coach, but at least we've established that foundation, and I know the personalities a little bit. Yeah, I don't talk to them as much probably, and I don't horse around with them, and I'm not working with them on the ice and individual skills as much. But I think that's helped me, you know, having coached, you know, Peary and Morin and, you know, Stanton and LeBlanc and some of these guys that have been here in the past. And it's a respect level, too. If you gain their respect and they believe in what you do and who you are, then they're going to work hard for you.
There was a time when you were the only assistant, and that's a lot of work. Do you think, I mean, as far as how you, I mean, you've told me before that you kind of let Steve work, you know, work the bee, and, you know, you kind of give these guys a lot of room. Is that just the respect level that you have because of how much time and how much work that you know being an assistant can be?
Yeah, part of it. I mean, I did that job for 5 years, and, you know, as an assistant coach, you want to feel part of it. You want to contribute, and you don't want to be micromanaged all the time. You have your own opinions, and so I try to put myself in their shoes, which I was, and I think it helps me being an assistant, having been an assistant coach in this league, being able to have Popper and Cy and Andrew Allen and delegate responsibilities to them and make every part of the staff member feel part of it.
We've talked before, as an organization, the Blackhawks have sort of, you know, you want to think things to be uniform, so when these guys do get a chance to get called up, it's not a culture shock to them. It's not a whole new system they have to use. I guess my question would be, over the course of the season, is there a running dialogue going on between you and Chicago, maybe different things they're doing or trying or elements they're changing, or is it pretty much something that's set in training camp or maybe over the summer, and then it's, you know, yours to run with?
Well, there's dialogue for sure. I think there's more dialogue this year than in the past. You know, I've talked to Joel probably every 2 or 3 weeks during the season just to give him an update on what's going on down here. And, you know, he wants to know about certain players and how they're developing and, you know, how the team's doing. And I've leaned on him for some advice in certain situations, things that we had to deal with here as a team and with certain individuals. So I think the dialogue's increased, and it's all about communication. And from management to management, I think it's a lot better as well, and it's good. It's a good thing.
Talking about that, I mean, there's a trio of guys. If you look at Al McIsaac, yourself, Mark Bernard, you guys have been together for a while. That obviously had to have helped you in your transition to being a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, working with Mark has been great. He knows my personality. This is our fourth year here in Rockford together, and we were together 1 year in Norfolk as well, even though he was on the business side. But, you know, I played with Mark for a couple years, played against him, and, you know, we're both fiery guys, and we know each other well, and he's shown a lot of confidence in me and in supporting me in this position and, you know, pushing for me to get the job. So it's been great working with him, and yeah, I do know Al McIsaac from back in the day, and even though I don't interact with Al a lot, you know, we know each other fairly well.
Back in when you were playing professional roller hockey with Mark, did you ever think that this day would come and you two would be in this position?
Well, you never know what's going to happen in the hockey business. I mean, you might, you know, be with a guy for 5 years and then go 10 years and not see him and then get back together with him in a coaching or playing role. But, yeah, you never know. You just try to be good to everybody you work with, and you need to come across and be respectful and professional because, you know, they might be your boss one day or you might be working alongside them.
Coaching-wise, was there anything that surprised you this season that you maybe you didn't expect coming in as the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, just the pressure you put on yourself as a head coach, you know, you feel all the wins and the losses a lot more, whereas an assistant coach or support coach, it doesn't affect you as much. So the emotions day-to-day really, really wear on you, and it's taxing mentally. because, you know, if you go through a losing streak or a stretch, you know, you feel it's your fault, and you feel you have to come up with the answers for your hockey team. You know, a couple, you know, I'd always used to see Bill fairly stressed out through the year and, you know, try to help him out and calm him down. But, you know, now I can look back and now I know why he was the way he was, because you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders when you're trying to figure things out.
Having said that, what was harder, January when you're trying to figure things out, or March when that playoff goal is a reality, but it's a day-to-day life, or, you know, do or die grind?
Yeah, I think January, when we were trying to figure things out, you know, we had some goalie issues here. We couldn't keep the puck out of our net. You know, we were falling out of the standings quickly to the bottom of the barrel, and that's not a good feeling, you know, 30, 40 games into the year. And, you know, I give the guys a lot of credit for sticking with it. You know, getting Carter Hutton was huge for our team, really turned around our season. We changed the way we played a little bit, became more defensive-minded. At the same time, Carter showed up, so I think it was hand-in-hand. And then, you know, I mean, getting a guy like, you know, pulling a guy up from the East Coast League, Svensson, and making that trade for Fornitero, even though it's been 15, 20 games, or, you know, since that trade, it's really helped out, and it was a shot in the arm for our team.
Talking specifically about the goaltending, coming into the season, it looked like Salak was going to be your guy. For opening weekend, he wasn't in the lineup. Your words, you described as a mental break. Then he had the delayed pregnancy, the injury with his wife. And do you think, did he ever get comfortable this season? And did we see the real Salak at any point?
I mean, it's been a journey for him all, you know, this year for sure. A lot of ups and downs. I mean, he's a good goaltender for sure. We all know that. I mean, he stepped in last night, not having started a game in I don't know how long, you know, a month, you know, 15 games. You know, and it's hard mentally to do that and to come in and play against a team like Milwaukee and only give up one goal. So the talent's there. I just think there were a lot of things this year mentally that were tough on his head. Obviously, being in Rockford, being sent down from Chicago, he was very disappointed. Took him a while to get over that. You know, getting off to a slow start as a team, and personally for him, record-wise. And, you know, the pregnancy of his wife, and the reality that, hey, you know, you are in the American Hockey League, and now I'm here, and have to wait my turn. And, you know, it was a tough year for him, no doubt, and especially with Carter Hutton coming in and then becoming our number one goaltender.
Hamilton. Was that a point where maybe, I don't want to say that the team lost confidence in him, but was that a point as a coaching staff you just said, we got to roll with Carter here?
Well, I mean, that was a stretch where I think Sal's played three games in a row. I know he played in Toronto the day before, and we got a point. And we went to Hamilton, and he just came back from his injury. We were trying to get him going and trying to get him playing again and get some confidence. And, you know, that game was, you know, very disappointing as a group for the whole team, having a 2-1 lead going in the third period and losing 5-2 the way we did. You know, and obviously Sal's pulling himself from the net. We had to address that and deal with it as a team and, you know, as a coaching staff, which wasn't easy. And, you know, he's competitive. He gets frustrated very easily, and he realized after that point that, you know, he's got to be stronger mentally. And I think he was from that point on the rest of the year. He became mentally stronger and really focused on, you know, being a good team player for us.
Talking about some guys specifically, Brandon Peary, he's very close to being an NHL player. What is there left for him? What does he need to do to get to the next step and stay at the next level?
Well, for Peary, it's just his, you know, he's got to compete every night hard. And he's improved a lot in that area this year. We addressed it at the beginning of the year, him and I. We had a few talks, you know, the first 10 or 15 games where I didn't think his compete level was where it needed to be. He's still a young kid. He's a second year pro, but he's only 20, 21 years old, and I think we forget that at times. His play away from the puck is better. His awareness defensively in his own end. You know, being a center, you're generally helping out the defenseman a lot in your own end, and you have a lot of responsibility, and you have to physically, you know, be able to handle guys. You have to know where to be, and he's improved in that area, but there's still some room to get better for sure if he's going to play at the NHL level.
Kyle Beach, you have an interesting perspective on it because you've seen him every time he's come here for, you know, 4 years in a row now, maybe five. A lot of people, and I'm sure you've heard this, I mean, there's, you know, first round draft pick 2008, hasn't made it to the NHL level. The term bust gets thrown around. Where is Kyle at right now? And, I mean, what would you say to people that may be giving up on Kyle at this point?
Well, you know, I've been in this league 6 years and been in the East Coast League for 2 years, and I've come across a lot of guys that were high draft choices or free agents, walk-ons that ended up making the NHL, and no one believed in them and no one thought they could do it. And if you're in the right situation with the right organization and you get the right coach that likes you and you play good at the right times when people are watching you, you never know what can happen. And the thing with Kyle is he is a first-rounder, so everyone's watching him. He's matured a lot as a person from 3-4 years ago until now. He's still going through that process as a player and a person. And I think I have a good relationship with him. He knows where he stands with me. And I think if he was playing a full season here, you know, without his injury this year, I think he's on his way to breaking through in the American Hockey League to being a really dominant player. He's just got to get back next year to playing and get through this injury and to see where he's at.
Obviously, the injury, he started out well. The injury was definitely a disappointment. But one of the things with Kyle, and I've even talked to him about it, is the off-ice stuff, the getting in the workout room, getting, you know, physical fitness was something that was kind of lacking. Obviously, with the injury, in order for him to get back as quickly as he did, he had to address that. Do you think maybe, in a way, that the injury was, I hate to call it a blessing in disguise, but it helped him in that sense?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, anytime you have a major injury, there's a lot of rehab and there's a lot of workouts involved, and it's lonely, and you feel like you're on an island by yourself. And, you know, working with Shane and DJ on a weekly basis, I know he worked hard because I saw him, and they reported back to us, and that definitely could help. It's a reality check, too, that you can't take hockey for granted, because it can end tomorrow if you get a career-threatening injury, and you have to enjoy every day. And you know, it'll be interesting to see how things work out. You know, he just has to have a good summer, come back in good shape with a good attitude, and not put any pressure on himself, just play good hockey.
Is there a point this season where you felt that Jeremy Morin looked himself prior to the last year's injury? Because, I mean, 10 months being off is a long time for a player. He's a guy that likes to play with an edge. He thinks of himself as a goal scorer, and those goals weren't coming early on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jeremy didn't get to train all summer. You know, he missed training camp or part of training camp, and then he jumps right in there. So, I mean, it wasn't even the first 6 weeks of the season. It was his training camp, and he wasn't in 100%, you know, shape at that time. So he had a slow start for sure. I know he's a little frustrated with his game, with the ability to score goals, or lack of goal scoring, if you will, because he's always been a goal scorer. And it's come naturally to him. And for whatever reason this year, he just he's had to work really, really hard to score the 17 or 18 goals that he does have. So, you know, I think if you asked Jeremy to assess his season, he'd probably tell you it was just okay, and there's more there. And, you know, at least that's my opinion. So, I mean, he has a bright future. There aren't many players around that have the skill and the grease that he has. He draws a lot of penalties for our hockey team. He puts our team on the power play a lot, and that's one of his attributes. So, you know, next year will be a big year for him, and I'm sure he'll be excited to start off fresh next year.
Talking about next year, there are guys that you're I mean, if they wind up back here like Morin, if he does, are there guys that you're really looking forward to working with?
Individual players?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I love working with Mo for sure. He's a good personality, and you know, I have a lot of respect for guys that can play offensively and produce offense, but then also stick up for their teammates or jump in and fight somebody, and that's Jeremy Morin. He's done that this year, sometimes out of frustration in his own game, but other times to stick up for teammates. You know, I like working with Brandon Pierce because it's my job to make him better, you know, defensively and away from the puck and his awareness, and I think he has improved in that area. And I don't want to say they're my projects, but those are two guys that, you know, definitely I focus on at forward. You know, I mean, guys like Flick, Paradis, they've been coming along as well and finding their niche and contributing a lot to our hockey team. So those are two guys that will continue to get better. You know, and then on defense with you know, Joey Lavin and Stanton and Yowes and these guys, you know, they have a bright future and they work hard and they're going to get better as well.
Flick and Parody, we talked about this a little bit last night, but it seemed like your team really established an identity when they got comfortable and specific to their role. And I think you've addressed that a little bit with Parody when he kind of falls out of that aggressive nature. You've set him out of the lineup a couple of times. Are those guys keys next season to developing that identity?
Paradis is physical. He's become a big part of our team. He creates energy for us. And he really keeps the other defensemen on the other team honest, very aware. And Flick's playing with confidence. He had to find where he fit in here in the East Coast League and American League and get going. The whole pro game of living on your own and, getting a paycheck and opening up a bank account and paying rent, that was a little overwhelming for Rob Flick at the beginning of the year. But once he got settled in and got that stuff out of the way, then he just concentrated on hockey he's played really well. He's getting 15, 16 minutes of ice time a game, and he's playing on the power play now in front of the net. So he's come along, and I think he's got a lot of confidence right now.
You're talking about some of these guys that got chances that maybe they wouldn't have been there had it not been for all the injuries, player turnover. Christy Domenico is one of those guys, and he's gotten a lot of ice time that maybe wouldn't have come had it not been for all that. He's become a kind of annoying player to play against. Points aren't there, but is he developing?
He is, for sure. I mean, he's been on one of our top two lines for the last 15, 20 games up until halfway through the game last night. But, he hasn't put up the points that you'd like to see, but he's definitely a little rat out there. I think that's how he played in junior, got under the skin of the opposition. He's not a big guy, but he's got that ability to surprise you with some body checks. He sees the ice really well when he has the puck. He has great vision, and hopefully for him, finishing the year here, getting some playing time will give him confidence going into the summer next year.
Just a couple more. Andrew Shaw. I mean, how amazing has it been to watch him go up into Chicago and basically do what he did for you when he got put on that Peary line, which is ignite the Peary line? I mean, you had other issues going on at the time, so the team success wasn't there. But, I mean, is he surprised at all how well he's fit in and been effective up there?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I knew when we got going here and saw what Shazzy brought every day to the table and his compete level and his, he's just a hockey player. He's around the puck. He goes to the net. He does all the little things that you try to preach to the 22 other guys on your team. And, I mean, I sat with Shazzy a few times and we had talks, and there was no doubt in my mind that he was going to play in the NHL. And I told him that. And it was just a matter of time. Whether it was this year, next year, I don't think anyone thought it would be this quick.
Yeah.
But to Chicago's credit for giving him a chance and Joel and his coaching staff for, believing in him and utilizing him and giving him ice time. And he's made the most of it.
And important, along the guys with Flick and Parody, it's staying on the ice for a guy like him, because he can't be effective if he's not on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's that fine line of being in the penalty box and, you know, putting your team shorthanded and still trying to get under the other team's skin and make them aware and make sure their heads are up all the time. So, yeah, he's learning that. I mean, Shaw's is only 20 years old, and same thing with Flexters. And as they go along, they'll get better at knowing their role.
Last one. Next season, the last two seasons, it's been the start. I mean, at the end, when you look back on the season, it's definitely been the start that's hurt you. Maybe, you know, a couple stretches in the midseason, but is that the sole focus heading into next year, is the focus level and at the beginning of the year?
Well, you know, Chris, like, I mean, we finished strong this year, we finished strong last year, but what it is when you have a young hockey team, sometimes it takes 30, 40, 50 games for them to figure it out. Mm-hmm. When you have 7 or 8 20-year-olds like we had at the beginning of the year, and I think that's what you see with our team, and I don't know if that's going to change, because we're going to be young again next year. We try, we work hard, we do a lot of repetition, we show a lot of video, but it doesn't happen overnight. You can't make a junior or college player into a pro player in 5 games, and I think that's what you see with our group is the more they play, the more they practice, the more time we have with them, the better they get. So I liked our start this year. We started 3-1 this year, but that was only 4 games. I think if we have the defensive play and the goaltending for 76 games instead of 60 games or 55 games, whatever it might be, that we probably might have had a better chance to get in the playoffs.